Welcome to another episode of the Ignited Entrepreneurs Podcast. I'm Jessica, your host, and I invite you to join in and listen to a conversation with an amazing entrepreneur who has leaned into their passion and is igniting their life and the life of others. Welcome to another episode of Ignited Entrepreneurs. Today, I have with me Chris Ward, the author of Win the Hour, Win the Day, and also podcast by that same name. Chris, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm super excited to be here, Jessica.
You know, I love how people connect. So I'd love to share quickly the story of the message that you sent me, because I think it's really important for people to, learn how you can get noticed and how you can really connect with people. And I just want to share that you reached out to me through a LinkedIn, and you actually had this video that you did for me, and just like you were so so prepared, and I loved it. Like, you got my attention instantly, and it was so unique that, you know, I knew without even really getting to have a chance to talk to you ahead of time that I wanted you on my show, because I could tell already that you had so much value and you had nailed, you know, how to connect with people. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you for appreciating it. That's the best part.
So Chris, can you please tell everybody who you are and what you do?
Okay. So my name is Chris Ward, and I help entrepreneurs stop working so hard. I believe that your business should support your life and not consume it. And so my journey started like anybody else's many years ago. I mean, in this day and age of technology, like 12 years ago, now it seems like 25, but I started as an entrepreneur, and I was working insane hours when I started. Like, it was just horrendous. And because, you know, you wear that badge of honor and you want to make a go of this. And I was working all these kinds of crazy hours. And as my husband used to say, I was constantly stealing from sleep. Like, that was the place I got any extra time I needed. And, you know, you go a year, maybe two without sleep, and people start to sit you down gently and tell you that you're not as charming as an individual as you once were, maybe thought you were, right? So, yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Like, here's, you know, everybody cheering me on, supporting me and doing such wonder, you know, it was just crazy. And they deserved a little bit better. So moving the story along, I said, I got to do something different. I started to feverishly examine, like, how could I change the way I worked? And so I really went from working like 16 hours a day down to six. Now, I'm skimming over a lot because I want to move the story forward, and we'll come back to that. The big lesson I learned, though, was shocking to me, was how much I had worked against myself. Like, how it wasn't about working less. I was so much less productive putting in that kind of craziness, right? Those hours. And luckily I had turned it around and everything was going swimmingly, because it was a couple of years after that, my husband had been diagnosed with colon cancer, and I was pulled away from the business, I would say, for about 2 years. And when I returned, my existing marketing clients, they had no idea of my absence. And when my husband's death became public, the local business community didn't know, nobody knew. And we didn't feel it was good for business. And we were also very positive in nature. So we felt that if the doctors, when they gave him his diagnosis, if the doctors were wrong, we sat around, you know, holding hands, crying for 2 years. If the doctors were right, we sat around the last 2 years crying and holding hands. So it just wasn't how we operated. So when I came back to work, and people said, like, I don't know how you managed, like, how do we not know you were gone? These are my clients. And so they started to ask me if I could work with them under the capacity of how did I manage that? And that was essentially, you know, dealing with super toolkits and building your what is next team, what I call your win team. And so that's how Win the Hour, Win the Day was founded. It kind of grew out of this situation I was in from my existing business. And then I just said, okay, let me see if I can help more people. And I wrote a book, and it's just kind of kept going from there.
Wow. That's amazing. Like, I think so many of us think that the only way to get ahead is to work harder, right? Look harder, longer, you know, put in the time, grind, hustle. And so I love, and I'm sorry about how the whole experience came for you, but what an amazing discovery, and to be able to realize that you could actually do the opposite.
Oh, it was crazy. I remember saying to my mom once, like, who knew I'd have to like unlearn working so hard? That was such a badge of honor. Like, when somebody said you're a hard worker, is there a better compliment, right? But think of it like this, it's just, it, you, you know, your brain. One of my clients said to me, just, she's new, she just started with us, because my average client, they tell me all the time that they get at least 25 hours back a week within the first month of working with us. Now this one was just brand new. And she said, Chris, I didn't work this weekend, which is a big accomplishment for me. But she said, I thought about it a lot. And she said, it's Monday morning. My brain is exhausted. And so, you know, I don't even know what you could equate that with. It's kind of like, you know, Olympic athlete, if on the big day of the race, are they going to go out and, you know, or even right up to the race, they don't amp up their workouts be right before the Olympics. No, they take care of themselves. They slow it down. They do all this stuff. Right. And we just run around thinking, you know, you can have, it's like all these apps open on your phone. It just wears down your battery. So the hours you're putting in are truly counterproductive in such a way you have no idea.
No, and it makes sense, right? I mean, the more that we can actually rest and relax and rejuvenate and do the things that bring us some joy. I know for myself, when I allow myself those moments of joy to do things that I truly enjoy that are not business related, it actually brings me back way more refreshed and more creative and more able to just get into the moment and do what feels better for my business.
Yeah. And I would say most entrepreneurs are like in what I call the 80 or 90% in the web of admin. Whereas I believe in what we call the win formula, that you should be in 60% creation mode and 40% admin, meaning there's always something you have to create. Like right now we're working on this masterclass in our company, but you know, somebody may want to get a podcast out or a book, or they want to start coaching, group coaching, or, you know, whatever your next thing is, what is next for you, that's the creation mode. And you should always be moving forward on that really effectively, you know, without any doubt, that should be the primary goal. That's what being an entrepreneur is. It's not about the admin work, because we all had jobs and that was the admin work, just repetitive motions on whatever administrative tasks you were assigned. The entrepreneurial journey is about creation. And so that formula isn't even a formula for most people. It's just trying to crawl out of the web of admin, scrap some time at the end of the day to see if you can get that one little project nudged forward a bit. And that is totally upside down and backwards.
Do you think that people do that out of fear?
I think they were just never taught otherwise. If you think about the corporate world, it's a very parentified system. So you hire somebody and then you hand them projects or tasks, and then you kind of lean over to the left as we're working and you check on them like a school teacher or a parent. And so then that in itself, that formula, you think, well, I've got enough to do. The last thing I need to do is check on somebody else's work, which is all I've seen in my work career, journey, school, wherever, anything I had to produce an outcome, that's how I was managed. So they just don't know any better. My team and all my coaching clients, whether they're in my winner circle, you know, whether they attend our free master classes, whether they do private or semi-private coaching, everything we do is your team is also in that win formula, 60-40, meaning they're always in creation mode, meaning they come to you with ideas and they move you forward. And I'm never doing redundant tasks or repetitive things. I am really, frankly, managed by my team the way it's set up. And that's what all my clients say is like, oh my gosh, this is so refreshing and so easy and lets me play and love the part I love doing in my business. But they just didn't know this way was possible. And it's just because you're just not taught it anywhere.
No, it's almost like shifting from that employee mentality into the entrepreneurial world, right? You have to kind of undo some of the ways that you had been thinking previously.
Yes, you do. But I would even argue that a lot of entrepreneurs still don't know that philosophy either. They just don't know. It's just not something that, you know, I deal with people at all different price points because we've got different ways that you can work with us. So it's very affordable from a bit more of an investment. But I deal with some really successful people and they just, you know, this one client of mine, he's kind of the guy behind the guy. He is a really helps people with sort of their speaking. but it's really big people like, you know, formal big athletes and Joe Theismann and all, like somebody that played football was a big deal 20 years ago, but they're still on stage getting like 20,000 a speech. And so he's the guy behind all them. Now he wanted to do a podcast, but he's like, I'm not running around doing all this admin work. This is crazy. So when he reached out to other organizations at podcast management companies and stuff, that's really like hiring a vendor. So he said, well, that's ridiculous. It's a lot of money. And then not that he couldn't afford it, he just thought it was a waste. And he said, by the time they asked me for all the stuff I'd have to give them, I could do it myself. Like, you know, it's like the web designer, like I need your copy and your content and your images. Well, and then they just sew it together. It's like, well, there's still a lot of legwork on his behalf. And that's just not the world he lives in. He's got too much going on, too many other things to pay attention to. So we showed him how we leverage and could create a team for him really simple and really easily. And he's like, this is insane. It's so much more efficient time-wise. I do this and then this domino effect happens and all these things take care of itself and just happens without me after I just give them the show. Like after me, you and I are done talking, the show gets handed over to somebody else and then it's up. Like my team even listens to it before it goes to live on iTunes, because what if there's a glitch in iTunes? And you know, I've seen that on Facebook where somebody says, hey, I was listening to it on iTunes and half your show's gone. Oh my gosh, because nobody checked it, right? So we have these, what we call super toolkits that make things happen. So in this case, this client was like, this is 1/15th of the work that they wanted from me. And it's like 1/20th of the price. So it's just, we worked long and hard and many years to perfect and evolve what we call our super toolkits. And so honestly, it is our secret weapon, but it gets stuff done.
Can you share a little bit about what this super toolkit would include?
Yeah. So what a super toolkit is it's most people think of it like a standard, it's a cousin of the poor or the fancy cousin of the standard operating procedures. So sometimes people talk about policies and systems and they're used to standard operating procedures. So standard operating procedures are usually written to cover liability. They're usually written not by the end user, and they're usually written as a one-off. So what we have is these super toolkits are done in a dynamic way that allow anything you're doing, if it took, you know, we're always looking at how can we take something from 15 steps down to 12, down to 8. And it's not about skipping steps. It's about being more and more efficient, right? And so then you're always compressing your work, which gives you time to do the next thing, which is how I, you know, get a book out and a podcast and got the new masterclass coming out and all these other things. So I remember seeing the movie Sully, where if you guys don't know, he was a pilot and there was birds flew into the engines. They lost all the engines. And so they're up in the air with like 300, what they call 315 souls, 315 people. And they have to land the plane quickly. Now they look, and you have to remember too, that here's two pilots, which we probably never think of, but they had never flown together before. Pilots just show up with a different crew all the time. Like you think that they're flying all the time together. They're not. So imagine if you even had a court case or a championship basketball game, you wouldn't want to be showing up with a new coach or a new management team or something, but there they were. They realized when the birds went through, they call it a bird strike, they lost the engine power. They got out their processes and they had about 45 seconds to make a decision and read through the steps. Now, take into consideration also adrenaline, your heart, stress. Like it's not just, let me read this because we're up in the air, right? We've got time. You know, they're operating in a different situation. But so that's kind of, you know, the heartbeat of what we're talking about. People think of standard operating procedures as heavy and time consuming. It's just easier to, you know, do what you know to do. And I agree with that with SOPs, but the super toolkit, you know, I can't show you an audio here, but it's sort of like that on steroids, but much more effective and efficient and sort of breathes a life of its own and constantly improves your dynamics and how you get things done.
So it's like a living document that you would work on?
Yeah, it's like a living document we work on. But it's, you know, I never make it sound sexy enough, but let me tell you, it gets stuff done.
Oh, I believe you. Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing too, is I think that's one of the things is we can get bogged down in the details. of things. And like you say, the admin and kind of figuring out how to get things done instead of just getting it done, right?
Well, you know, you really do need a team. And when I say the word team, a team can be one person. But I was just speaking to someone yesterday and he was saying, yeah, he's tried that before. It didn't work. And I said, okay, let me just ask you some questions, because I would suspect that you didn't have much of a training or onboarding process. Our onboarding process is very unique and it really creates a culture. And people tend to think a culture is something you have when you have a bigger team, like, you know, a larger organization. But when you're working with one or two other people, then you really need to have a highly effective, encouraging, supportive, fun culture that really invests them so that, you know, they really bring it up to the next level. And I would tell you with great confidence that I am definitely the dumbest person in the room with my team. And it is unbelievable how, man, they make me look good. And this is so insanely affordable. A lot of my coaching clients will come to me and some of them go without for years and they suffer, and it, you know, which is ridiculous because it's kind of like being a chef. You can't be the hostess and the server and the chef and the sous chef. Like you'd get one meal out a night versus being a chef and you get like 100 meals out a night. Right. But I also get, you know, clients that come to me that were just so desperate to get to the next thing that they started thinking, well, I must not be paying enough. And so they're coming to me after they've tried somebody 20, 30, 40 bucks an hour. And we hire and onboard that when we find someone for your win team and you give final approval, and then we help you onboard them. And it's a whole process and we really do it with you and make it really super easy, because we don't want any learning curves or painful bumps in the road for you. And people are shocked. They will say, Chris, I would have paid more for what the quality and the caliber of person you gave me. I would have paid 45, 50 bucks an hour because it's so unbelievable. And we're talking $5-6 US dollars an hour. Like it's just, you know, it's crazy with the resources that are out there and how it pays for itself and how it could launch your business forward. And you just don't know what you don't know.
Yeah. I think you and I need to have a conversation about this offline, because you have my attention for sure.
Yeah. I've had nothing, but we have like a 90% retention rate. And it's not hiring somebody and training them, all this stuff. That's step one. We're not a VA agency, which, by the way, you shouldn't go to them either, because what happens is they'll produce somebody to you and say, well, she's really great. Maybe she is. And she types all these words and she does all that. And then they give it to you, but you're not set up. You're not set up. She can't come in and parent up, right? So it's like somebody giving you a well-trained dog and they put you the dog in your house. And it's like, well, you don't know the rules or the language or how to manage the animal. It's like the dog will not be the dog you got in a couple of weeks, right? Although as I say this out loud, maybe comparing humans to dogs, I don't know. It's a sensitive world, but you see my point, right?
So yeah, no, it makes total sense. You can untrain them really quickly without the right guidance, right?
Well, it's not even untrain them. It's a maybe, let's just take it down to a really simple thing, like they're tech savvy or they're a good typist or something basic, but they can't come in and tell you what to do. So adding more people to chaos is not going to create calmness. And so the training and onboarding is an essential part of that process, but then setting you up so that the work, you know, that they get more and more done every week and that you guys are building these super toolkits and that you're moving on to the next thing and the next thing, not you give him or her some work and then you, oh yeah, well that's the password, but not on Tuesdays. And wait, hold on. And now they need that from you. So the tail's wagging the dog and you feel like you're working for them and it falls apart really quickly and you're not set up. And then you think, oh, okay, I'll try this again in 6 months once I get caught up. I'm telling you guys, if you ever hear yourself say even once I get caught up, this will change. That is the anthem of the suffering entrepreneur, thinking that once you get past this, once you get past that, once you get past the holidays, once you get that new client on board, once we get this, things will be different. And they won't.
No, it makes sense. What is it they say? Everywhere you go, there you are, right?
Yes, 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 yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So, I mean, yeah, if you're not changing something, then nothing is going to actually, you know, look different for you. So.
And the only complaint I ever get from my clients is they tell me constantly, Chris, you should have been out there louder and more. I cannot believe I did it this way. Like, this is nuts. I can't believe how much more I'm getting done. They're falling back in love with their business. They're rested. You should start your day refreshed and leave, you know, fresh. Like that's it. You didn't start a business just to run a business, right? So that's the thing I get. And again, they tell me all the time that I save them about 25 hours a week within the first month. So there is an easier way to do this. This idea of grinding it out. And, you know, those are just people giving you a hero's journey of an ill-planned journey, really, a hero's trip of an ill-planned journey. So they're rah, rah, and you can do it. And I've done it. I'm at the top of the mountain and I can make this look really good. And that sounds great. Listen, in a movie, I'm a big old Rocky fan. I love the climb in a movie, but that is not the roadmap for entrepreneur. That is just wasted, misdirected fuel energy. You're burning yourself out. It's just a waste of good talent.
And it's not sustainable, right? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, speaking from experience, like the last year and a half, I really threw myself into this podcast and a lot of other things kind of had to go to the wayside. And now I'm recognizing that I can't continue to live like that. And I'm having to rethink things and replan things and jig how I approach it. And it's, you know, I mean, maybe even for a short period of time, if you're working on a specific project or something, but it's not sustainable. So having somebody like yourself who can come along and teach, you know, the entrepreneur how to now create that team, create that culture, create that, you know, 60-40 mindset.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's priceless right there, right?
And that's why podcasts fall off the grid so quickly is because it for most when most of them are not set up so they're revenue generating. And then you think this is a passion. I want to connect with people and I'm going to do it for this purpose. And then it becomes this monster and you're like, holy hell, I have to give up all these other things. And it's a labor of love when I do the interviews, but then the back end and the work is so much work. And that's the thing. We just were working with a new client this morning and she was saying on average it was taking her, I don't know, something like 15 hours a week or something by the time it was all pushed through and to do the podcast and checking it and the rigmarole. And so we've been working with her and we hired someone for her and we trained them and we did this, all this, did it together and gave her our super toolkit for specifically. I mean, we help teach you guys when you work with us, how to create your own, but for the podcast, which is well-developed, it's very sophisticated. We've worked with podcast management companies that actually borrowed our system and everything. And so we do all that. And we have her down to 3 hours and she was spending about, I think $600 a month. She was doing it in-house. A lot of times people send the podcast out to vendors and they do 10 shows for like 1500 or 2000, whatever. So she was doing in-house with different people, whatever. So it's costing about $600 a month. So we have her down to 3 hours and $50 a show. Yeah. So it was $400 a show, something like that. Anyhow, it was insanely way more than us. And now we've got her down to somebody doing it for her for like, it's between 2 and 3 hours. And so she doesn't do any of it. Her part now is down to, I'd say 15 minutes, recording the show, but so it's that kind of stuff. It's just, you guys are doing it the hardest way possible.
Yeah. And coming from somebody who has been doing this for a year and a half, there's a lot of details. There's a lot of things that go on outside of just simply the interview, right? And coordinating it even in the beginning, having the pre-chats, getting the introductions, spending the time looking for your guests. Then there's the back end is once it's recorded, there's the editing, there's the publishing, there's the show notes. There's like, just the list goes on and on and on. So if you're telling me that you can get it down to 3 hours, that's pretty amazing.
And then here's the thing though, Jessica, this isn't your last dream. Like maybe you should be writing a book about your experience, the guests you met or doing whatever, who knows what the next thing is. So not only should this not now be taking the fun out of the podcast, but this should be a stepping stone to your next creation. You shouldn't be, this is not step one, stay here. You've got a whole flight of stairs to crawl up, you know, or walk up. So yeah, that's the thing is guys, you know, business should be fun. It should support your life, not consume it. And you should be in 60% creation mode, not admin.
Yeah. And like what you're saying, it's fun too, like when you get to that point where I'm at now, a year and a half in, it's like now I can start to think about all those other possibilities. So I need to have that time to be able to be creative, right?
It's kind of like if you can imagine it's a beautiful summer day, and you know, I say, let's get in this rowboat here, and you know, we're rowing and it's beautiful, but then we find out like you know what? This is a bit more of a trip than we thought. And we're hungry. We want to go have lunch. Wouldn't you rather then say, hey, let's hop over into this, like put a motor on the back of this and, you know, now you got a motorboat. Let's get somewhere and get to the real, like, you don't want to be paddling. You want to be in that motorboat.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the paddle is fine for a little while. Yeah. It can be relaxing. It can be fun. Yeah. It can be, you know, enjoying the journey, but then, yeah, it gets like, yeah, are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Yeah. And if you're getting paid per trips, you might want to use that motorboat.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, Ignited Entrepreneurs. This is your host, Jessica. And I know that you, as an entrepreneur, are probably working on something new. And what I have found is that as entrepreneurs, we're always working on something new to offer, something new to create, a book, a workshop, whatever it might be. But what I found is that we start a lot of things, but we don't always finish them. We get distracted, or we start and then we lose focus. We're not really sure what the next steps are. Well, lucky for you, I've created the Idea to Launch in 90 Days Planner. This amazing little book is a lifesaver. It's everything that you're going to need to take that idea, that wonderful big idea that you have that you know your customers want. And it takes you all the way to launching it step by step for 90 days. Check the show notes to get your copy today.
Okay, awesome. So one of the things that, you know, you do with your clients is you take that and you dial it down so that they can get more done. So creating, one of the things I saw when I was researching you is create big results fast.
Yes.
Can you share a little bit about kind of your secret for that?
Yeah. So I'm all about no fluff, big results fast. And so what that means is somebody said to me, we now have this winner circle, right? And we have master classes about once every 5 or 6 weeks where we teach you guys all kinds of really amazing things and change your, it's free. And we change your mindset and how you see things, understanding that we can dive into more stuff than we can here, Jessica, and, you know, a little bit more show and tell, and I show you some stuff. But when people are in our winner circle, and it's a group coaching type thing. And they said to me, Chris, because it's new. And they said, Chris, I have never been in a training like this before where like you tell us, no, there's no homework, but yet all these things are getting done. Right. So what I find is too often, and sidebar conversation for a second, we have it set up with Super Toolkits and your team so that your team can even take courses for you. Like we show you how to do that. There's very few things that I take a course on now myself, unless it's like my very high-end expensive mentor we do on one-on-one stuff. But anyhow, so what happens is people find it so crazy funny because my pet peeve is you go in the wrong direction. So let's pick on those poor web designers again and say, or you want to do something with your website and you say, okay, look, I got to do some research. I want to do something with my website, boom, boom, boom. And you start looking stuff up. And all of a sudden you realize, okay, I want to do this with my website. And then a little bit of research says, ooh, but I need to know a little bit more about keywords because this, and then you go back and you're like, oh, okay, I didn't really understand SEO. So then you, all of a sudden you're like 10 steps in the opposite direction of where you're going. And you're always moving further and further away from the goal because you're getting more and more educated. And that is so frustrating and depressing as an entrepreneur. So my big thing is like when people work with us, that's why when we hire, you know, we hire and help you onboard, you know, your what is next team so that there are no pain points. You don't have to learn a whole bunch of things and go in the wrong direction. We support you and handhold and catch every little step along the way and give you information as you need it. So then you're not overwhelmed with information trying to learn it. Or even like in our winner circle, another thing of me, if somebody's doing coaching with me or info product and they do say something really spectacular, you're learning something on a video and then you have to go back and you have to replay it and find what they said and then write it down and then make notes. Like even when I teach my coaching clients in any capacity, whatever program you're in, whether it's private, semi-private, group, you have access to what we call the academy. And then you can access the replay of your video, of course. Then you get the transcription. So you can just scroll down, copy and paste that thing I said that you wanted to remember. Then you've got 10-minute little toolkits that I might show you. Here's the things you do the first day when you're onboarding something, even though we covered it in our coaching. So then I even spoon feed it to my coaching clients so that they move through the training faster than they've ever done anything before. But also at the same time, they're seeing how efficient I am. And here's the cheat sheets, and they just copy and paste it from our Google Docs. So then they also, I'm doing some role modeling of how they can put these infrastructures in place for when they're working with their clients. So I'm just a big proponent of get from A to B as fast as you can, where often, you know, as an entrepreneur, you want to get from L to M, but you end up going back to B, right?
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
That never happens.
You can't relate?
Oh, no, not at all. As if, I wish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. No, and I love that because, like you say, you're actually role modeling for them. So you're showing them that it's possible. You're not just, you know, providing theory and whatnot. Is you're actually living it and letting them see how easy it can be to adopt, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's what a lot of people need too, is they need to be able to see it in action. Like learning it and hearing it is one thing, but when they can actually see it in action and how easy it really is, that's when I think a lot of it gets like really locked in place for people.
Yeah. And that's what they all praise me on, because I know like one of my clients, Kim, she said, I'm like, okay, I was showing them something like, oh my gosh, this is so great. And I said, whoa. What I don't want you is saying, I'm going to come in Sunday. I'm going to do this thing that Chris showed us. I'm going to spend a couple hours on playing around with it. And I said, because, and they all said, oh my gosh, how'd you know? Because the entrepreneur will go, oh, that's not really work because I don't have clients. So I'll just come in Sunday and get, oh, I'm going to play around with that. Right. I said, don't do that. I'm showing you the concept. Next week, I'm going to give you the cheat sheet and you just have to check it off and do it. I'm promising you, don't play around with this. I'm going to show you how to do it in 15 minutes. I'm going to give you everything you need. And it's going to be so simple. And they're like, this is nuts. I've never been somewhere where they kept telling us not to do homework. And they, you know, they'll get it done for us. This is crazy. So I'm about big results, no fluff.
I love it. I don't like fluff either. So,
no.
You know, when somebody can show me a system where, you know, you can just kind of eliminate all those things that we tend to get, I don't know, like bottlenecks or little roadblocks that we feel like you were saying, like, the, okay, now I need to learn SEO and now I need to learn keywords, yeah. Right? If you can just kind of eliminate all of that and just continue down the path that you started on, that would be magic.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Most people don't understand what I call the 3 D's. What you have as an entrepreneur is the areas you're losing a lot of money on are damaging overhead, delayed income, diminished opportunity. And let's say, for example, Jessica, if you can imagine, let's say a package you could sell, let's keep the math simple because I'm horrible at math. Let's say you could sell something for $100 and now you are at 7, 8 o'clock at night doing some admin work, just trying to get ahead, do all this stuff. Well, you could be bringing in $100 per package. So what's happening is you are now billing your company at 7, 8 o'clock at night, $100, because you're not bringing in that revenue. You're caught in the web of admin. So you are the most damaging overhead to your company when in fact you think, oh, I'll save money and do it myself. But you have no idea how much damaging overhead you are because you have no idea what you could be bringing in as far as business goes because you're stuck in the web of admin. And then of course, let's just think about if they referred you to one person or the lifetime value of that customer, all that kind of math that goes in there. And then of course there's delayed income. When you get a client in June that you could have had in, you know, February, and again, maybe they referred you to one or two people, you've no idea the money you lose. And then the most painful one is diminished opportunity. When you hear from somebody like, oh yeah, I wish I'd met you sooner. We just hired somebody who kind of does that for us. And you're like, oh. And again, what if they had referred you to one person or the lifetime value of that customer? So it's unbelievable the money you're wasting running around without your, what I call your win team, your what is next team.
Oh, I love that. I think not enough people, and including myself, really think about that. Like my time as the business owner has value. And so every time that I'm not putting that value into, you know, like you say, money earning activities or reaching out and connecting with potential clients, it's actually costing you money. And I don't know that enough people really factor that in.
And you wouldn't have paid $100, you know, for an evening's work. You wouldn't have, but you are billing yourself in this horrible, painful, imaginary, like not even keeping track of how much money is bleeding out. That's the worst part.
Ooh, can you imagine if that's what we did for like, say a week, is you actually just took notice and paid attention to the hours that you're putting in that are not necessarily getting you closer to earning, you know, a client potentially.
Yeah. I tell you, my team, the only thing I often try to hear this one guy that works with me, Evan, and he's more behind the scenes and more reserved. So there's very few things that I cannot, you know, that somebody else doesn't do for me. One, you can't show up as an interview of Chris Ward and it's not Chris Ward. I have to be here for this, right? Another one is I have to interview for my show. And a third one is when pictures are needed. Chris, we need more pictures of you. And I constantly say, if I could figure out how to delegate these pictures, somebody else would be doing it. It's just time consuming. And of course, you know, you got to dress up, do whatever, right? So I keep terrorizing Evan saying, you know what, Evan, I think my brand is strong enough out there that you go and represent me. You could go do these shows, which then he starts to try not to swallow his tongue. So I do that every once in a while to terrorize him. But really, those are the only things that I absolutely have to do. I do my coaching with my clients. I do podcast interviews and I take pictures of me. My team can do in various different forms or at certain levels.
Yeah. I think that's really great to point out, right? Like there are certain things that you have to do, period. Right. Yeah. Like I'm not talking to a robot right now. I'm talking to the Chris Ward, right? You can't not show up for this, but after that, whatever needs to be done after that, like, you know, if I need information from you to put the show notes together or whatever, someone else can do that part. Right.
Yeah. And even things that you think, like sometimes we'll like right now we're pushing this masterclass that we have. It's a free masterclass. We teach so many different things about this and we dive in deep. So I, you know, when I started talking about a little bit on social media, Facebook, people asking questions, I answer, but I put it in Google Docs, people asking questions, I answer. So I start to look and realize, okay, there's my answers. And when somebody asks me a question, there's only so many different ways you can answer the same question. So then I copy and paste from my own Google Docs because it's there. I already answered that question. And you'll see things out there yourself, guys, where maybe it's something like somebody says, what's, you know, the one thing you wish you knew when you started your business? Well, you have that answer because that's your experience. So you can just copy and paste off your Google Docs, stick it in there. Well, then you do that for a little bit. Now my team often can do that. They can grab those and answer those questions that are just sort of light engagements that don't need to be me kind of deal. So there's also ways they can show up and be you, really, as long as they don't need to see your face and your voice. There's lots of ways that they can be you at different levels. So it's pretty exciting.
And it's still you. It still came from you initially. So it's still you. Somebody else is just delivering the message for you.
Yes, because that is my answer. I answered it a whole bunch of times. Number one thing, if I wish I'd known, I would have started my team sooner. And here's why. Boom. Well, I've answered that question at least 10 times over the last 6 months. Here, you can copy and paste that now because that's all I'm doing at this point.
Right? Oh, I love it. Okay, so talk to me a little bit more. You've got your winner's circle. You've got this masterclass. Like, how can people work with you? How can they find you and connect with you?
Yeah, well, first of all, tell me you heard me on this fantastic podcast and we'll become fast friends. You can reach out to me on any of the socials, you know, LinkedIn, whatever, Facebook, send me a message. Tell me you heard the show and like, let's connect. And I'll figure out where you are. I'll even give you, you know, my personal email is Chris, KRISWARD at winthehourwinthedaycom, or hop on over to freegift from Chris.com. And there's a whole bunch of little goodies in there that you can get up to, including there's the ultimate entrepreneurial quiz. Then there's a secret to getting 200 free hours of admin work. We've now had about 35 students. We get high school students that come in very tech savvy. And each semester they need to put in 200 free co-op hours. They're thrilled to be in a co-op placement because then they don't have to do homework. And they come in with a lot of tech experience and know a lot about social media. And each one has to fulfill 200 hours. So this year alone, we had 800 hours of student-free co-op. Like, so I got a manual showing you how to do that because that's everywhere in North America and Europe. That's common practice now because apparently a lot of the youth don't get the work experience that you used to get. So they want them in work placements to help them. And a lot of them also said to me that really helped prepare them for college doing this work placement type thing. So, I mean, this year we got 800 free hours. So there's all kinds of ways, guys. It takes care of itself. It's very affordable.
Ooh, I might have to look into that for some podcast editing. I'm sure somebody out there needs some hours for that. Awesome. Okay, cool. So now, before I let you go, I always ask all of my guests one question. So Chris, if you could give somebody who's ready to take their business to the next level one piece of advice, what would you say?
You know, I'm just going to be consistent. You really, without a team, you're what I call a sufferpreneur. It's like thinking you're an athlete, but you're watching the sports from the couch. Like you're not in the game, you're watching the game. But you're a sufferpreneur if you don't have a team. You really need a what is next team, a win team. And so that's everything. Until that, you don't have a business. You really don't. You don't have a business that you can sell or replicate. If you slipped on ice in the winter and broke your arm, you'd be messed up. You know what it's like. People have said, oh my God, something happened. I missed, 4 days of work. And for the entrepreneur, that's like 4 weeks, right? So that's not a business. That's being a sufferpreneur and self-employed. So it's really about having an infrastructure. Let me tell you this very quick example. It's kind of like if you were excited and said, Jessica, oh my gosh, I got this house plant. I'm super excited. I'm not normally good with plants. This is going really well. I'm going to go get another one. And then I get really proud of myself and say, okay, I'm going to get a third house plant. And then I decide, cause this is going well, that I'm going to turn it into, I'm going to have a farm, right? Well, the difference between three house plants and a farm is the output, is the infrastructure. And that's what happens. People think I'm going to get one client and two client and three. And then they think there's going to be this organic infrastructure that falls into play that's going to support that. But it doesn't. You hit waves where you lose a client, then you have to go out and scramble and get one. You don't have time for that. And then you have to back up and you need time to onboard them and you're catching up. And then there's Christmas and all this craziness. So without that, without understanding the infrastructure, having a team, you're just forever going to be behind the eight ball.
Yeah. And I like the fact that, like you say, even one person can be your team, right? You can start.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Start small, see how it can help, and then build from there.
And keep it small. I get a lot done. I have a book and a podcast. I do speaking engagements. I've got all kinds of coaching clients, and I have three on my team. So I believe very much in lean and powerful teams. You'd have to be really managing a lot to get up to five. So I've been doing this a very long time and I have three.
No, and that's really good to know. Cause I think a lot of people like myself, we think that has to be a huge expense. And now we think, oh, now all we're going to be doing is managing our team. And how is that really going to save me? Because now I'm just a manager. And, so it's just, it's nice to hear from somebody like yourself who not only has adopted it, but is also now like sharing the benefit of it and helping other people do it, that it doesn't have to be this big, huge group of people that you pull together. Like you can start somewhere and it doesn't have to be overwhelming, right?
And not at all. If it is, you're just doing it wrong.
Yeah. Cause I think that's the thing, like you were saying, is we tend to wear all of these hats. And so it's like, oh, it's just one more thing. Like now I got to train them. And now I got to get them, thinking like I do and all this. And it's like, no, that's why you reach out to Chris, because you do all that work for us and bring us the right people. Right.
We sure do.
Awesome. Oh, thank you so much, Chris, for making the time to be here today. I really appreciate it. And I'm definitely going to check out your websites here and get some of these resources. And, you've really changed the way that I look at bringing somebody on as part of my team. Cause I think I'm at the point in my podcast for sure. That now I need that support so that I can actually go back and continue on with some of the coaching and whatnot that I do, that 100%. I had to put it on hold, right? Because I needed to grow this. And so now I'm at the point now where, like you say, I don't want it to just be a labor of love anymore. And so I think I need somebody that can come on and work with me to help with that. So thank you so much for sharing that and making it sound so much easier than I think I had thought it would be. So,
well, you were just following the path that everybody else was on, Jessica. It's not your fault. People tell me all the time that no one's out there doing it the way we do it. So it's not your fault. You're just listening to the masses.
Awesome. Well, I'm so glad that you and I connected then so that I could get, that reframe and that I could really see it for what it could be.
So. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Well, thank you.